Our fourth Sunday in Lent, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 22 to 31. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl, the other by a free woman. And the son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory. But these are the two covenants, one indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children into bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that dost not bear, and break forth and cry, thou that dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are the children of the promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son. For the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of a slave girl, but of the free woman in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. At that time Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them that each may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number of about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining. And likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. But when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This indeed is the prophet who is to come into the world. So when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him king, he fled again to the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
The freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, continuing with our meditation on the sorrowful mysteries, we are at the fourth sorrowful mystery, which is the carrying of the cross. Of all the mysteries, of all the sorrowful mysteries which we can meditate on, this ought to be one of the easiest. Holy Mother of the Church has presented to us different aspects of this mystery. Easy for us to contemplate if we make good use of that spiritual exercise that we call the Stations of the Cross. Something to be said here about the Stations of the Cross. There are different methods that can be used. Whether they be the method according to St. Alphonsus Liguori or St. Francis, those are two very common methods. There are other methods that can be used with bigger or shorter meditations. But did you know that you don't even need to use one of those prescribed methods? The stations of the cross is very easy to make. All it takes is a little bit of time. First, we strive to make an act of contrition. If you want to get the indulgences attached to this holy exercise, go to confession and communion within a week before or after. And then you come into church, a church where they are erected, like here, blessed by the bishop. And you go before each station and meditate for a moment or two. Not even for a minute, a moment or two. And try to contemplate the mystery, what took place, what's the lesson to you. And when you come to the end of the stations, to pray an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be for the intentions of Holy Mother of the Church, and you gain the indulgence. And if you do so properly, you gain a plenary indulgence. And I think Holy Mother of the Church presents this to us during Lent, because it's a great tool for us if we use it properly in our spiritual journey to our Heavenly Father. In the understanding of what we need to do in order to give up our sins and to truly put our efforts and energy towards those requirements that are necessary for us if we wish to be a true disciple of Christ. Denial of self, taking up of our cross, and following, pursuing Christ. According to the method of St. Alphonsus, when we're talking about taking up our cross, there are two things that are definitely expounded on, and that's embracing the cross and accepting the cross, accepting it and embracing it. We accept the cross because the cross is God's will. And we embrace it, we love it, because we know it's the means by which we can get closer to our Heavenly Father. Now, what is the cross? We have the cross of circumstance, we have the cross of temporal obligation, we have the spiritual cross. The cross of circumstance, this can be anything that happens throughout our day. It can be a sickness that we get, it can be the age in which, at which we are. Too many people complain. Too many people want to shrug off the cross. And the fact of the matter is, you can't shrug off the cross. Either you're going to use it for your spiritual benefit and your journey to your eternal home, which is heaven, or you're going to fight it and wrestle with it and find yourself frustrated because you can't really get rid of it. And in that frustration, you will fall. You will die. And you will find that that frustration is eternal. But if you truly embrace the cross, in other words, accept God's will, whatever it is, from the daily occurrences to our vocation to whatever death He wishes us to have, we accept God's will. In that acceptance of God's will, now we can find peace. You can have joy in your heart because you know you are doing what you ought to do, what you are asked to do by your Creator, and you're following your Redeemer. Remember last week we talked about the truth. There's only one way towards the truth. There's only one truth. That's why Christ says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. There's not different ways. Don't think you're going to find a shortcut. That's stupidity, spiritual stupidity. And anybody who thinks that they can find a shortcut, they're going to have a rude awakening when they're called to eternity, and all of us will be called to eternity. That's a reality. It's not something that, oh no, let's not talk about that, it's too scary. No, it's a reality. Let's prepare for it. Let's not be idiots. Let us not be blinded by our own selfishness and our own ideas. Oftentimes our own ideas are fallacious, based on false concepts. Why? Because we want to believe what we want to believe, instead of really wanting to believe what is the truth. And He is the truth. Crosses of circumstances, or the cross of temporal obligations, our daily duty. What's your daily duty? Well, for the younger ones, being good children of their parents, being good students. For the rest of us, going to work, being good employees, or being good employers. Husbands and wives, being good spouses towards each other. Mothers and fathers, being good parents. Children, being obedient and subservient, respectful. And all of us, abiding in love. That's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice that we must make. If you do not abide in love, charity, we're not going to get to heaven. Charity is the antithesis of evil. For charity is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love and truth. You can't have true charity unless you have a true love for the truth. You can't have a true love for the truth unless you have a true love for Christ and His way, absolute. If we want to make it to heaven, there's only one way. Straight and narrow is the way that leads there. And few there are that go. Are we one of the few? Take a look at the stations of the cross and the lessons they give us. We see that our Lord falls. There's three falls that we meditate on during the stations of the cross. Why? Well, that should be kind of a consolation to us, in that when we carry our cross, we too will fall. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It matters what we do with that fall when we get back up. We make the struggle. What's the purpose of the fall? Oh, we can blame it on a bunch of different things. We can blame it on the people who are pushing Him and pulling Him. We can blame it on the heaviness of the cross, or we can blame it on the rock that He trips on. Nevertheless, that's not the thing for us to meditate on when we meditate on the falls of His way to Calvary, but the fact that He gets back up and He pursues His purpose. At the very outset, we see a Christ embracing His cross, accepting it. Why? For love of you and for love of me. Will we not accept our cross for love of Him? How about our spiritual cross? The spiritual cross is fighting the good fight, the temptations, the discouragement, fighting the world, fighting the flesh, and fighting the devil, and that biggest enemy, the flesh, ourselves. Yeah, that's a big one. But are we willing to take upon ourselves that fight and to fight it to its victory? Because we can, not by ourselves, that's ridiculous. But I can do all things in Him who strengthens us. I can do all things in Him. St. Paul says, without me you can do nothing. A part of the spiritual cross there is living my faith. If you think you're living your faith just by coming to church on one day a week, you're lying to yourself. That's not living your faith. Your faith has to be part of your life, just like Christ must be part of your day. But Christ will not force Himself into your day. You must invite Him into your day, each day, every day. If you don't, you can't have what He offers. You can't have peace. You can't have joy. You can't have His charity. You'll lose. You'll lose the opportunity, and you may lose your soul. And that's a horrible loss. Part of that spiritual cross is determining to truly love God. Remember what He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep them. They must be one with you, a part of you, not just an idea that we think of from time to time and say, I just haven't done so good, oh well. I just go through the routines and go get me those pacifiers, which makes me feel good, and then be on my way and do the same old, same old. We can lie to ourselves, but we can't lie to God. Let us consider the people that Christ meets on his way, on the way of the cross. We have those who try to help Christ, like Simon of Cyrene or Veronica. Just like there are people who will be there to try to help us. Whether or not we let them help us is a different story. Sometimes by pride or arrogance, we don't let people who are trying to help us help us. Whether it be the priest preaching a sermon, or our parents giving us advice, or a good friend saying, no, that's not right, or this is better, or why don't we do this? Those are a part of our journey. How do we accept them? People that we see on our journey will be like, they could give us a sermon of example. Take a look at the holy women that Christ meets. And they're crying and they're mourning with Christ because they see the abuse. And they see the horrible injustice that is done to him. And what does he say? Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and weep for your children. When somebody gives us comfort, do we not reciprocate? Will we not give back? How is it that so many people is just all give me, give me, give me, take, 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 and they so seldom and very little give? How's that charity? How can we be considered a disciple of Christ who loved the world so much that he gave to the very last drop of his blood to us? And not just his sacrifice on the cross, but moments before he was to die, he gave us that most precious gift that he could give us after our redemption, and that's his mother. To be our mother. When he says, behold your mother. What other lessons can we learn from the stations of the cross? How about the small group that's at the foot of the cross that's faithful? Oh, there is a large group at the cross. Make no doubt about it. But how many of them were mockers or gawkers, justifiers and liars? But there were a few faithful. One was a thief. The other, a disciple. The others, holy women. All of them close to our Blessed Mother. Because you cannot have any greater hope of getting to our Lord than being close to her. To Jesus through Mary. So as we are considering how we are carrying the cross, let us consider how we're carrying the cross. How many times do we shrug it off or make an excuse for not carrying it? Remember what the scripture says, they who persevere to the end, they will be saved. Reminds me of that poem of St. Louis de Montfort where he says, three crosses stand on Calvary's height. One must be chosen, so choose aright. Like a saint you can suffer, or a penitent thief, or a reprobate in endless grief. The cross is part of life. How will you accept it? Will you persevere for love of Christ? And that's where the second point comes in, of charity. Love of Christ and love of neighbor. Selfless, not selfish. If you think you're going to get to heaven by being selfish, fool's gold. And this is where we check ourselves with how we carry our cross. Parents, how you persevere in being good parents to your children and teach them, especially by your example, but also by being faithful to the rules and regulations you give to them. Friends, being faithful to your friends by promoting to them the greatest good. Children, being obedient and respectful to your parents. Carrying the cross willingly and cheerfully for the love of God. It is only when we willingly take up the cross that we find that freedom which we crave. Because then we're free. We're free from the devil. We're free from sin. The devil shrieks at the sign of the cross. Remember St. Christopher? He was trying to look for the greatest Lord to serve. He found one, and pretty great. As he had gone through a course of different saints, he comes upon this one, seems pretty powerful, starts serving him until he passes by this roadside and there's a cross, and this great and powerful leader shrinks at the sight of the cross. He says, "Why do you shrink at such a sight?" And he finds out it's the cross of Christ. Because, well, then that's the one I want to lead. That's the one I want to follow. That's the one who will be my leader. We must also make a choice. As we come to this halfway point in Lent, let us consider these things and consider where we are. Let us be strong with ourselves in examining ourselves. And if our mentality is folly, let us identify it and change it. While we still have time, let us not be fools and try to make up for ourselves our own way, because there is no own way. When you have your own way, that's a way that's broad and wide, and many there are that follow. Self-will is self-destruction. God's will is the only way, but we must accept it. And the fact of the matter is that we have been educated or enlightened. We should thank God. And like it says in today's Mass, rejoice. Be happy. You know the way. Now follow it. And you know what? It's only for a little while. Not very long. When that time ends, it will end. I was thinking about this yesterday, last night, when we're doing the whole daylight savings time and changing time. Of course, first, a little bit of internal complaint. It's like, why? They're taking away another hour. I could use some more sleep. And then started thinking about trying to spiritualize it. Eternal rest. That sounds pretty nice. But eternal rest will only come to those who are with Christ. And time, well, doesn't matter how you change time and clocks or whatever, or where you live, but time will come to an end. It has come to an end for many people we know, and it will come to an end for us. And eternity will begin. But how will our eternity be? Well, that's up to us. Let's do everything in our power to make sure that our eternity is full of that joy that the Church reminds us about today on this Sunday. A joy that's eternal. But that eternal joy doesn't start in eternity. It starts now. We call it peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of soul. And peace of heart, mind, and soul can only come to those who love God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.